At Revolution Radio, the journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, good evening at Celebrate Truth. I'm your host, Robbie Davidson. We've got a good show for you this evening. It just seems like things are getting crazier and crazier, as we always say on this show. I'll tell you, man, the moral fabric of society is breaking down. But not only that, the financial system as we know it is also breaking down. You can definitely see the cracks in the dam that are starting to appear, with now five major banks that have absolutely folded. There's problems with the Credit Suisse and others. We will see exactly the domino effect and what is going to happen, but it is unbelievable to me how these things are occurring and the frequency. If it wasn't bad enough through COVID, now we're getting into a time where they're getting closer and closer to the Great Reset. They're desperately trying to stop anything to do with Donald Trump. It seems, though, that it might have backfired with their indictment planned. It didn't seem like it went through. I think they said, call it off. This is going to be bad for us. It is interesting to see what will happen as we get closer to the 2024 elections. Trump is speaking, or he just spoke, in Texas this evening, and I heard that it was fantastic. So I'll have to check that out later. If you haven't checked it out, look into it. Let's just get right into the show. I got a special guest this evening as well as from last week, good friend Bill Conley. Bill, you there?
I'm here.
All right, man. Let's just start with what are you thinking, man? You've been following a lot of stuff that's been going on this week. What do you think one of the highlights that you've noticed?
Well, I mean, the big thing was Trump not getting indicted, I think, because everyone expected him to get indicted. Because that Soros DA was like super hot on him. Mm-hmm. But I think cooler heads prevailed, and I don't think they could get a judge that would sign off on it. That would be like, yeah, okay. I think the DA was all good, but I don't think they could wrangle a judge, talk one into it, because the charges are 7 years old. The statute of limitations is 2 years past. So what are you going to do?
What were they thinking?
And, like, honestly, and he's an ex-president running for election again.
I know. What are they thinking? Trying to bring up Stormy Daniels again. It's just unbelievable. I mean, she literally was ordered to pay Trump for damages because he sued her for that accusation. And it's unbelievable to me that they're just trying everything. It was not Russia and Ukraine and then Stormy Daniels. And it's like, what's next, man? It's just like he has not been able to rest 1 minute. Even while he was the president, they came at him with everything they had. And this, nothing sticks to this guy. Nothing.
No, nothing. No. And I think what they're trying to do right now is they're trying to take out I think they're trying that. I think what their main goal is, they're trying to take out DeSantis and Trump now. I think that's what's starting to happen. I did watch Trump tonight.
Okay.
And Trump kind of explained, you know, sort of how it all sort of came together with him not really knowing DeSantis and not really, you know, whatever with DeSantis. He was a little standoffish, but he talked to him and he kind of rubbed Trump the right way. And so Trump kind of endorsed him because DeSantis was, like, in Trump's words, not verbatim, but said something like, please, please, please vote, you know, like endorse me, endorse me, endorse me, endorse me. And when Trump did, you know, DeSantis won in a landslide, you know, and then this stuff and Trump was saying something to the effect of, you know, he's a loyalist. He's a loyalist and DeSantis is not a loyalist. So I think Trump feels, you know, betrayed.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I mean, that's he must have been going through that a lot over the last few years, just seeing how many people that he thought were loyal or his friends basically stab him in the back, you know, all the way. So I always say that, you know, if he does win this time around, it will be a lot different as far as who he puts in to, you know, positions, just because he now knows who his true friends are.
Yeah, and he's learned a lot those first 4 years, and now these years, he's learned a lot. I mean, he knows the ins and the outs. And if he get when he gets in, he has to get in. If he doesn't get in,
no, I know.
I'm saying we're screwed. We're in Canada, and it's worse here. But we are in a bad way if Trump doesn't get in.
I know. Yeah. I've always said that if he doesn't win, I think that we will never see anything for the rest of our life as far as anything outside of the communist Marxist agenda position themselves, you know, rig the elections in the sense of getting the laws changed, you know, packing the Supreme Court. So many other things that they want to do. I think that, it will be the final nail in the coffin as far as that goes. So, yeah, I'm with you. When it comes to Trump, you know, and it's not about putting your only hope in one man, but really, I do believe that there's something almost supernatural that took place in 2016 and that will probably occur again. I don't know for sure. And I'm not saying this is some sort of prophecy, but again, his story isn't complete. And I definitely think it is one of the wildest stories of our lifetime. Just the fact that he became president. And now you see the story arc where all of a sudden it's like, can he be vindicated? Can all of a sudden this take place? I mean, I can't imagine how crazy the Democrats will go if he does win and the amount of riots and violence that will occur. But it still needs to happen. Either way, the country is in a very, very serious state.
Yeah. And I think when he does get in and it does happen and the riots and those things start, they're not going to be started by people on our side.
No.
It's going to be obviously people on their side and the new government. That transition period, I can't imagine.
Oh, man.
You know?
Yeah.
If Trump, imagine if Trump doesn't win. Just imagine the chaos that's going to erupt.
I don't see it. Like you just said, it won't be on our side. I don't think many people, I mean, sure, they're going to be upset, but I don't think they're going to start rioting and burning cities to the ground like the Democrats or the left will do.
I don't think they're going to do stupid things like the Democrats do, but I'll tell you what. Let's say 4 years ago, you have Alex Jones out there yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming, and now you have Tim Pool and you have guys like these two guys I heard that are awesome, Joe and Joe on YouTube, and I think they're on wherever. But everybody now is an Alex Jones. And I guarantee you in 2 years, you're going to have a lot of conservatives that are not just going to talk the talk. They're going to walk the walk, and they're going to get involved, and it's going to get rough. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I would say it would be the end of the rhinos or the established Republican Party. That for sure, I think, will completely fracture, going forward. But let's not even think about the negative. Let's think about Trump winning. I know the odds are against him, but again, they were even like they were massively against him in 2016, and he won. They had every right to think that, I remember all the polling and all the mainstream media. They're like 99% Hillary, it was just a shoe in. And all of a sudden, boom, like the look on their faces was priceless. I did a documentary if people are, and it's hard to find. You're going to have to actually go to my channel on YouTube, Celebrate Truth, and go into the videos and search for it there. Because if you try to search for this on YouTube, you won't find it. But it's called Truth Trumps Lies. If you type in those three words, I did a documentary and I released it right on Inauguration Day. I had actually been working on it, showing that Trump was different. He wasn't this paid for part of the establishment type person. He was saying things that, watch it and you'll see and you'll be surprised. And he's stayed very consistent through the whole thing, from questioning 9/11, talking about bombs in the basement, to even questioning vaccines and saying, hey, the right should be for people to decide for themselves and for their children. Government should never get involved. So say what you want about Trump, but he's always been consistent and he's always kind of questioned the mainstream narrative, for definitely the last 10, 15 years. So that's definitely positive. But with all of that, I mean, Trump can even see it. Most of us can see it. The moral decline, this absolute assault on the sanctity of marriage, on family, massive attacks that are occurring. I don't know if you actually watched this. This was unbelievable. Alex Stein was down at a protest, and maybe I can actually find it. We can play that. I was going to play a couple clips, but I wasn't prepared for this one. But let's want Alex Stein. I'll tell you, man, where's the tolerance? Where's the love? Where's the acceptance? Because keep in mind, these are the guys that said, look, tolerance, right? They're all preaching this tolerance. You have to be tolerant. You have to be tolerant. You have to be tolerant. And what you see is nonstop intolerance. It is unbelievable hate. If you want to talk about the true haters, the bigots, all the names that they accuse us of being, listen to this and tell me who's the hateful one and who's not.
Do you see these white racist heterosexual assholes?
So people are listening. They're actually pouring hot coffee on them. They're pouring water. This is Alex Stein. He's in there just trying to talk to them, have a civil conversation. And they're basically barraging him, assaulting him, and more. He's asking them seriously, what rights do you not have to this LGBT, community? And they're just screaming at him. But again, he has a good point. What rights do they not have? Have you ever thought of that, Bill? Well, exactly. Now they're in a protected class. They have actually more rights than us. Let's continue.
What rights do they have?
Protect trans kids.
Look at this. These want to cut kids' penises off. These are disgusting. They want to cut and mutilate children's genitals. Look, they want to cut children's wieners off.
There's children here.
What's that?
Are they telling him to relax because there's kids there?
Yes. Meanwhile, they're advocating for the mutilation of children.
They're calling him a white, racist, heterosexual.
Keep listening. It gets worse.
What am I going to do? What are you going to do about it? You guys, how are you going to protect a kid by cutting off his genitals? These people don't want to protect kids. They don't want to protect kids. By what? By cutting their genitals off? What are you going to do? Guys, you're not protecting a kid by cutting his wiener off. You kids! You should not have your... Get off me!
Hey!
No! Look at this! Yes! This is what these people...
Get out of the way!
Get off me! Guys, you guys are all freaks! You guys should be ashamed of yourself! Children cannot consent!
That's
laughable.
No, it's not.
I should kill myself?
You have no friends.
Do you think I should kill myself?
Nobody will love you.
I hope you live forever. I'm sorry that
nobody
you want me to
kill myself.
That's really sad.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of what we're seeing. We're seeing this in multiple places now, multiple countries. Apparently, the New Zealand, that there was a protest of people against the whole children and trans debate when it comes to having them have operations and getting, drugs and all these sort of things. Well, anyways, it got so bad, it got so violent that they basically pushed these women, and these are women, against the whole trans thing. They had to end it, and they went home. So they basically came in, disrupted their own little peaceful protest. It's getting to a point, Bill, where, you know, the whole idea of just peacefully protesting, they send in the mob, they send in Antifa, they send in BLM, they send in this whole... and again, they're intimidating people to retreat. What do you think about that?
They freeze their bank accounts. Look at what's going on. Like, this is what happens when women, I'm sorry, it's going to sound horrible. It's going to come out.
No. We're going to definitely talk about it. Say it. Say what you want to say, Bill.
This is what happens when you have women raising children by themselves without a father in the home, because now you have men, I'm gonna say it, you have men acting like women. You have no positive male influence. I grew up, my mom took care of my brother and I grew up in a single parent home, but I had my mother, thankfully. I spent a lot of time with my dad, and I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. So I learned a lot from my grandfather. If I didn't have a strong male influence in my life, I wouldn't have turned out to be able to raise my son the way I needed to raise my son. And unfortunately, my kids had to go through a divorce, just like I had to go through. I'm sure it wasn't just like I had to go through. I'm sure it was a lot different. But this is a society raised by women.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have women that are, you know, the whole feminist movement was fantastic. Yeah. Because it brought equality to the table, right? But now you have these... it's not even feminism, it's activism, and it's...
But let me push back on that, Bill, like, for the idea of, like, equality and stuff, which I totally agree with, you know, as far as worth. But this whole idea of, like, different rights and stuff, it was a very satanic ploy to start entering in. And we're watching Little House on the Prairie. And, you know, they started showing kind of these women moving in and saying, hey, you know, this isn't right. And, you know, this whole idea that when you get married, you know, that, you know, the property is under the man and all this. But this is very subtle. I've been actually studying this lately just to see exactly how did this creep in? Where did, you know, we get to, you know, from where we were? And it's very intriguing, dude, when it came up to the whole women voting. Now, we're going to actually segue. It's a perfect time to segue into Tim Pool, where he is talking with Sovereign Bra, Chase, and they're having an amazing discussion. There is a huge resurgence of women that are now wanting to repeal the 19th Amendment. For those that aren't familiar, the 19th Amendment is women being able to vote. Now, this is very highly controversial, but in this day and age, people are now starting to say, wait a minute, well, we've gone way off track. How is it that we got so far? Well, you're going to find that a lot of the voting is being voted emotionally, and a lot of women are actually pushing these insane doctrines through and the insane laws that are happening. They're being voted on by women. Now, hypothetically, if we were just to move back to that time when it was literally one household or you own land, you would be able to vote, right? What would the country look like? Because again, you'd be a lot more serious when it came to voting rather than just anybody can vote, right? Furthermore, when it came down to the household, the husband, the man of the home, would vote for the whole family. Now, why that's important, why one person for the household would vote, is because usually there would be some sort of unison, an agreement with the husband and wife. For the most part, all throughout history, it's always been that way. Now, only recently, we've made it all cool and hip to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a Republican, my wife's a Democrat, and we're all cool and stuff. It's like, wait a minute, how does that work, right? But you'll see this huge...
The kid's trans?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, for sure. And then think about how horrifying it is now, where if you think that equality, let's talk equality here. Okay. So you're basically with this woman. You get her pregnant. Now you want to keep that baby, but she wants to abort it. You think you have any say? Zero. You have zero. How is that equality, right? When it comes to any of these type of issues, when it comes to a woman that says, hey, I really want my child to express themselves and be a girl. I want to say this to my son. And the father's like, no way. Who do you think is going to win that? Who has the equality there? There is no equality. This whole illusion was Satan's ploy to come in and destroy the fabric of the society that we all understand and believe in. Now, again, America is such a different prodigy because, again, it was created by Judeo-Christian values. It was very put into the Constitution. And this is what we're seeing. You're seeing the seeping, you know, oh, we just want equal rights. Oh, we just want equality. Really? You never, ever see any evidence of them just wanting equality. It's not. It's like they want complete world domination is what they want. They're so sick right now that, like, if you aren't attracted to a trans woman, you're a transphobe. You're a hater. Like, they're now getting to a point where they're trying to guilt trip men for not wanting to date or be with a trans woman, which, by the way, is a biological male. And going back to Sovereign Bra, he's actually sitting there talking to some women, and he says, and they're like, why? Why in the world would you not want to be with a trans woman? And he's like, because I'm not gay. And they got so offended, Bill, so offended. He's right. He's a man. Yeah. Oh, they got so offended. He's like, I would be gay. You know, I'm not gay. Why in the world would you try to push that on me? So that's what I find really amazing now, is that they're really trying to not only just live their life, you know, this whole, I just want to live my life, whatever happens in the bedroom. I remember the church for the longest time. It's like, it's no big deal. Whatever happens in the bedroom is no one's business. Guess what? It's not in the bedroom anymore. It's on the courtroom steps. It's right in your face. They're, Amazon's delivering it to your door with Amazon packaging that has the trans LGBT flag on it. Dude, it's everywhere. It's like this hostile takeover. And if you don't submit, then they come for you. They come for your job. They'll cancel you. Speaking of cancel, here's one I just want to bring up, because I'm mystified, but I have no clue what happened. But Discord just completely disabled both of my accounts. And I'm thinking, okay, well, what's happening here? This is interesting. But I've been running these for, I don't know, man, 8-9 years. No problem. I've never done any of the stuff that they're accusing me of, but they're saying I violated the terms of service and community guidelines. We will not reinstate your account. You should have received an email with more information regarding this violation. And I'm like, okay, so I got an email. Let's just see and it says your account was disabled. You have to refer to this email. Well, then you go back to the email. Let me just pull it up, because I'll tell you one thing. It's just, I have no idea. Hello, Discord. It's focused on maintaining a safe and secure environment for our community. We found your account to be in violation of our terms of service or community guidelines. As a result, we've disabled your account for the following reason. Are you ready for the reason? You ready, everyone?
Yeah.
Gather around. Get your popcorn. Your account sent threats to others, participated in target harassment, incited violence against individuals or communities, or was involved in a server dedicated to these behaviors. So I guess that's the case. So basically, they yanked my whole account because of that. Now, do I even post anything on my Discord? No, I don't. I am so surprised. I have no clue where this came from. The last time I posted on Discord was maybe, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And for the most part, I've used it twice in like the last year. And I usually just watch stuff on there. I'm not even involved. I'm too busy. I'm on Twitter and I'm on YouTube. Oh, that's it. Gone. And we're not going to reinstate your account. Just boom. So, like, you know, the only thing I can think of is
I had complaints.
What's that?
You think it was complaints? Like, could somebody have just been like, well, I don't like Rappy.
Maybe.
I don't like this channel. Or I don't like this Christian dude.
Maybe. The only thing I can think of, honestly, is there was a Celebrate Truth like Discord that maybe there was some stuff possibly going on there. Hey, if anyone, I'll maybe get someone to check that out and go in there and see. But they've yanked it, so it's gone. I'm wondering if someone in there because again, someone had created it, gave me over the admin status, but I've, like I said, I have not been there for years. Like, I think the last time I glanced at it was 6 months ago. I'm like, oh, okay, there's not many people. It's pretty much dead. But maybe something happened there. That's the only thing I can think of. But again, nothing under my accounts. So now that I think of it, it maybe is something someone came in there. But if someone came in there and sent threats and harassment, how am I responsible for that, right? So, like, it makes no sense. I'm just like, this is so strange. But then you try to get them to, you know, what did I do? Oh, you know, you just did this, this, and this. It's like, can you prove it? Can you show me proof? Like, dude, it's such a scary world when all of a sudden you build up, you know, all this work. You're doing all this stuff, and then one day it just gets yanked, and then you say, hey, show me where I wronged so I can make it right. And even if I can't make it right, then I know that my mistake and I can never do it again. They don't even show you. It's all vague. It's just like your account sent threats to others, participated in target harassment, incited violence against individuals or communities, or, and this is it must be it, or was involved in a server dedicated to these behaviors. So the server, they're in question right there, as I think it must be, was my Celebrate Truth server that has been running for 7 years, and everyone just posts flatter stuff in there and NASA lies stuff. So unless someone went in there and started like saying all sorts of wicked stuff, maybe they're saying, oh, I don't know why they didn't ban that account. Why would they ban the entire server? So something stinks here, but it doesn't matter. It's gone. They will not reinstable it. And they say that everything will be deleted in 14 days. And you think I can go get that information? No, it's gone. It's just completely gone. So, wow. Yeah. Anyways, so that's
so they're saying we're going to keep your stuff for 14 days.
Yeah, but you can't access it.
You can't
it.
Do anything in 14 days.
No.
And it'll be, why don't they just delete it like right
I don't know. Off? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea why they wouldn't do it, because I would imagine if there was like some sort of lawsuit or something like that, maybe, you know, they have to keep it open to start proving things or something. But, no one even sues
for 14 days.
Well, no one sues these guys, man. Like, no one sues them at all. And they'll just say, oh, we're a free service and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, it sucks, because it's like, if you had said, hey, we found all this harassing stuff that came from here and it came on your server and blah, 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 at least you'd know. And you'd be like, oh, okay, I guess I'll protect it more next time. But I was blown away.
Email Robert Barnes.
Well, but here's the crazy thing, dude. But here's the weird thing. I had two accounts on Discord. I had one under me personally, and I had one under Celebrate Truth. Okay. Both were gone. Like, both have been yanked. Like, both have been disabled at the same time. Those are two separate accounts. One's for cryptocurrency, one's for Celebrate Truth. Like,
like a personal attack, dude.
It must be, man.
Personal.
It must be, but I don't know how they combined the whole thing. But you're right, it was a personal attack. So I don't know if it was something I wrote somewhere else, but my guess is maybe they saw something on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, or who knows, and they said, oh, this user is posting a whole bunch of bad stuff here. Because quite honestly, Bill, nothing. I don't even get political on Discord. I'm not even there for that purpose. The most I ever comment is on cryptocurrencies. So, like, no, it's so weird.
If that's happening there on such a minor thing, but they took both your separate accounts out that were there's nothing to link them together whatsoever.
Yeah, it was personal attack, right? For sure.
Out of the millions of people, yeah, that's personal, man. Yeah. So that's,
but I would love to know what the reason that the Discord would have saw, where they'd have been like, oh yeah, we have to, like, we can't just give them a strike, or we can't give them a warning. We got to yank all their stuff. We got to disable it, and we got to delete their entire accounts because it's so horrific. I mean, I can't even think, dude.
It sounds bigger than it should be, dude.
Conspiracy
theory-ish.
If it was Twitter and Elon didn't own it, I'd get it. If it was Facebook, I would get it. I post a lot more controversial stuff there, and it's still pretty tame. But, like, nothing at all. Zero on Discord.
I would be more concerned about this, because if these are two minor channels that are in no way, shape, or form connected, like, that would scare me more than getting...
They're coming for me, Bill. They're coming for me. It's that time. Guys, just to let you know, I'm not suicidal, all right? Just to let you know on this program, I'm not suicidal. I'm actually pretty happy, and everything's good. What's that?
You will not Epstein yourself.
No, exactly. Okay, well, let's get back. We got all segued on this. Let's get back to this, because honestly, I think you're going to see a lot more talk on this. And again, people are like, oh, really? Appeal the 19th Amendment? Really? Women can't vote? Listen, hear the conversation out, start thinking about this clearly, and maybe we need to start having these discussions. Just like Roe v. Wade was overturned, maybe the state should be in control. The people should decide what should be done going forward. And again, it might not be too far-fetched to think that we might be seeing a time where all of a sudden the states start deciding if gay marriage should be instituted. Now, I'm not saying, and I'm not advocating any hate or violence towards gay people. They should live their life and all that. But again, give it their own word, give it the same, you know, quality. But again, it was the marriage thing. Marriage throughout time has always been a man and a woman. It was never about equality. It was about the attack of the marriage institution that God instilled. I'm talking about that. But when it gets into these discussions and when you find out how far off we're getting and the majority of these massive moral issues, when it comes down to murdering children, the majority is coming from women. Just like I said before with Little House on the Prairie, the women started turning the men into doing what they wanted in order to get what they wanted. And again, it has never stopped. Satan has used women right from the beginning of time. And again, I love women. Don't get me wrong. But again, right from Adam and Eve to Delilah, to the list goes on throughout the Bible. You see time and time and time again, women were being used basically for man's fall. And you see it here in society, in order to destroy the family, in order to destroy society, in order to destroy the church, women will be the primary purpose that when it comes down to voting emotionally. Understand that most men vote logically. There is a big difference between voting, getting emotional, or logically looking at something and saying, you know what, that makes the most sense. I'm going to vote that way. God intended it that way. That's why he made the men the leaders and women followers. They are still equal of worth, and they have incredible roles to play in society. And it's beautiful how we come together with those differences. But what is the world doing is trying to completely erode any type of nonsense when it comes to this idea that basically everyone is pretty much the same. You can call people women or men or whatever. And now the attack is coming against words like mother, father. That's offensive. You can't say mom or dad anymore. That's offensive. We're going to call them birthing people. We can't call women. They're getting so far gone, Bill, that women is offensive to say now. It's like, oh, you know, a pregnant woman? No. A birthing person. You know, a person now, at birth.
Yeah. Anna Kasparian just even came out from the Young Turks and spoke out about it, saying, I'm a woman, don't call me a person or a birthing or a woman with a uterus and all these things, or a person with a uterus.
Yeah.
And now she's getting a lot of heat for it, and she's experiencing it, and she's a far lefty, you know. And
I know.
This is what happens when you leave the kids at home alone, when the parents aren't around. You have kids growing up without dads, running wild in the streets, and now these kids that grew up wild running in the streets are running things in government. They're running the schools.
Yep.
There's no hierarchy anymore. And
nope.
you hit the nail on the head exactly when we were talking about in the home that, yes, we love women. Women, I mean, we love our wives, right?
Yeah.
We cherish our wives. We love our children. We respect our wives. We treat them as equals. But at the end of the day, just like there's a hierarchy with God and us, there's a hierarchy between men and women.
Yep. That order is like Christ over man, right? Man over woman and woman over children. I mean, it is very clear, biblically speaking, and yet Satan absolutely has distorted it through Hollywood. It has been a direct assault continually. It's like, oh, come on. You want to be controlled by a man, blah, blah. It was never about that. It was about a hierarchy that would work and function in harmony together. And again, when people discover this, and there's a lot of women that are now in their 40s, and they're like, you know what? I was lied to by this feminism stuff. I'm actually unhappy. I worked in this career. Guys, think about it. Like, they have no problem. They have absolutely no problem submitting to their boss at work, but they have a problem submitting to their husband at home. It makes no sense. Do you think that the boss cares about the woman like a husband would care for his wife? No. So then why is it okay for her to submit to her boss? Oh, that's woman's power. You go, girl, you go. Because it's a direct assault. It's Satan whispering in your ear saying, nah. This is your independence. This is you getting out from under the control of the man. And meanwhile, she's sitting in a job And she's not actually participating in her role, which she was created to be. And women that have discovered this, they are so incredibly content and happy. This has been a lie and has been a long going lie throughout Hollywood to get this idea that, like, oh, being a homemaker, I mean, oh, that's just really, you just sit at home, you do nothing, you just stay at home, you don't have a job. This was never the case throughout all of recorded history. Yet only in the last, 50, 60, 70 years, they've tried this great experiment, you know, from the 70s to the sexual revolution. Again, this has always been a direct assault. And guys, look around. Look at around at how crazy things are. And it's going to get crazier, which is just horrifying to think, because how could it get even more insane than what we've seen already? And it's going to, because this is the result. This is what you sow. What you reap when you sow these type of things, when you have these ideologies, and when you go to this rebellious nature, especially when it comes to the harmony of relationships and marriage, you will see exactly what happens. Let's get into this discussion. Sit back. Well, I know you haven't heard this one. It's really good. It's only about 10 minutes. There was a lot of great discussions with Chase and Tim. And also there's Mary, and she's on this broadcast as well, because she was on with Chase's show where all these other feminists were. And she was like one of, I think, two other women that were like, you girls have lost your minds.
To go back to what you're saying a second ago, this I actually really like the thread of like positively propagandizing the youth to understand like these Marxist and communist dynamics that are at play, because there's so many stories today that like propagandize the youth into believing in Marxism and communism and all of these like oppression narratives and stuff. And I think storytelling is one of the most important ways to sink like deep lessons about life and culture into people's minds from a young age. And like, we need to do a lot more of that.
How many girls did you speak to that would identify as feminists?
Almost every single one on the podcast. That's with the crazy exception of those three girls that were sitting next to me.
All the girls I was speaking to, none of them would like identify as a feminist when we went around the table.
Really?
Yet they believe all of...
I don't think
what feminists believe.
Why do you think they rejected it? Do you think because they're like,
I think
it's
maybe
bad
they were
optics?
A little bit embarrassed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they didn't want to look any stupider than they already had.
Yeah.
You know, made themselves out to be. But they all believe the same things that self-professed feminists believe. So what's even the point?
Well, I mean,
of
it's Santa
term?
Barbara. You know, it's
I don't
like,
think they believe it.
You don't think so?
I mean,
virtue signaling.
How do you get Kiko?
Probably.
Like.
Yeah.
You know, like that's
well, the funniest,
what,
the funniest,
that's what
scared,
I found so
funniest...
confounding about that interaction between yeah. you two, because she is caping for literal men who want to masquerade as biological women.
The funniest part
and
of that interaction.
And she's furious and horrified yeah. at what you've just said on their behalf, and they're
well,
not even in the room.
Real quick, she's mad that you won't have sex with them, which is really weird.
It was less that yeah. I wouldn't have sex with them, and it was more that I called it gay. Because her imperative was, I have to defend these men being women, and you calling it gay invalidates them
but
being
look,
called women.
We don't call them same gender marriages. We call them same sex marriages.
Yes,
that's
exactly,
gay.
Exactly.
So if you're both male, it's gay.
Yes,
now, I'm 100%. Not saying that to be mean to anybody. It's 100%.
Well, the ideology has evolved so quickly they can barely keep up, and they don't consciously realize as they change their opinions on these things that they're changing their opinions on these things, and that's how you get a Kiko. Like. She's been radicalized and doesn't even yeah. know it.
The most fascinating part to me about that interaction was the part when she goes, as a biological woman who doesn't even have any trans friends, that was fucked up. It's like, you don't have anybody to defend here, but you feel so compelled to attack
yeah.
me. How does that work?
And that's honestly when you just have to realize that women are so...
They've become weaponized.
It's not
by
just
the
children
ideology.
Who are easy to indoctrinate. Adult women 100%. Are really easy to indoctrinate. 100%. They're very collectivist by nature compared to men. They're just far more malleable to these ideologies. Yeah. And that's why they all like are in a hive mind together. When they get on that podcast, they're sitting on one side of the table, obviously, and then they just start operating as one.
I see. It's interesting on this broadcast that they're referring to, these women wouldn't identify with being feminist. If anything, they were shying away from that. But yet they were weaponized to be completely in line with this Marxist communist ideology of moving forward with this idea that anybody can be anything that they want or believe them to be. It was startling. And they have no axe to grind, yet they're all collectively in this. And like Mary brings up a good point, when they come to the collective idea, like a hive mind, women are very easy. And again, this is not a diss at all. This is biblical. It says women are the weaker sex. Why men were put in place is to protect them from the world, protect them from these things. Men actually are a covering
protect them from themselves.
Well, 100%. And that's what the husband's role is.
It's at that point now.
Yeah, 100%. The husbands are there. The husbands were there to absolutely protect them from themselves, protect them from others, all these sort of ideas. Like, it's a beautiful thing that God actually put that in place where they have like an umbrella. They have a covering. We don't. We're responsible. Like, we're responsible for our wives. We're responsible for our family, our children. We don't have a covering. We don't have this kind of catch there. But the husband is put in place to actually have this loving covering, protection over her. And it goes up from there. You know, God looks over the whole thing. But that's the whole idea. Go ahead.
As men, we look at our fathers, our elders for guidance and for support and for things like as a man. And as a woman, they look to the man, to their father, to their husband,
100%,
for that kind of support. But now you're seeing, look at Prime Minister Trudeau. I mean, that's a perfect example of a guy who.
Well, Fidel Castro, to be fair, Fidel Castro died when he was young. His dad died when he was young. Fidel Castro. Trudeau's biological father. you're talking about fathers not in the home, and I'm like, well, to be fair, Trudeau kind of ended up away because his dad, you know, died.
Right?
Fidel Castro. Yeah. That's you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
absolutely. Keep going.
No, and I'm just saying, but you look at a guy who's very feminized. He's very effeminate. He speaks very feminine. You know what I mean? He's almost like that coddled kid. When I hear him talk anyways, I just get mad because he speaks in such a condescending, I told you to be home at 7 o'clock and it's get home. Wait till your dad gets home. That's exactly what he's like. And that's what the government is being run like. And you look at the Canadian government and you look at the American government and people know that Biden's an idiot. I mean, how can you not see that frail old thing and just not be completely petrified? And then you see how powerful his wife is. Doctor this and doctor that.
She's got
a doctorate degree in some kind of BS, education thing. She's not a real doctor. She's like a chiropractor. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a real doctor.
No, for sure. They always like float that and stuff like that. Well, I mean, even
going
back to Trudeau, though,
and guys like that. Yeah.
Trudeau, though, like he was bowing a knee for BLM and he's marching with all the Ukrainians. He's marching with like the LGBT and it's like the truckers come. Nope. You know what I mean? They're terrorist enemies and they're domestic terrorists. And, you know, no, you can't buy a sandwich. And yes, we're going to freeze your bank accounts. Like, you can see the hypocrisy. You can see the actual warfare that's placed when it's fine, when you can protest and go out and start rioting in COVID times. But if there's any type of other, you know, freedom type protest, you're a super spreader event. Remember all that stuff happening? You remember the bikers? They all were getting together. It was like super spreader. And then when BLM or, you know, all these, you know, marches were taking place, that's a good cause, though. Racism, fighting against racism, COVID doesn't bother you then. It knows that, you know, fighting against racism is a good thing. So COVID just stays at bay. You know, like, come on, guys, where's the science? Right. We get to this a lot on the show. It's like, follow the science. It's like, you know, don't question it. And it's just ridiculous, dude. Like, so many people, hopefully, you know, if you're not an absolute zombie and you're probably listening to Revolution Radio, so you're probably awake, but I'm sure you've got family members or friends that are quite zombified. Guys, like, it sometimes takes tough love. You got to almost give them a slap in the face because, you know what? They're going to be happy at a certain point when you wake them up and they're like, oh, wow. Like, wow. You know, like, they're in a daze. You know, the Bible explains, it says that Satan has blinded the eyes that they cannot see. You know, he's the one that does the blinding, but it's a supernatural awakening that takes place. But sometimes people have to be involved with things for a very long time, unfortunately, and we have to witness and watch it, even though we're like, if you would only wake up and see exactly what's going on, the world is burning. Society is burning to the ground. The family unit is being disintegrated. It's being attacked. And yet we're sitting around to the point. And God's like, I wonder when they will rise up. I wonder when they'll actually rise up and say, enough is enough. Interesting. They're now trying to mutilate children's penises. I mean, they're trying to chop children's penises off. I mean, they're literally castrating kids now. They're chopping girls' breasts off. And yet there's not outrage by, I'm talking tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. That should show you where we are in the spiritual wickedness cloud that we're in. People that are walking around zombified.
There's no reports on it. The media isn't talking about it. There's not anything saying, coming up at 6 o'clock, children are being mutilated in the hundreds by blah, 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 blah. And guess what? We're legalizing suicide. So if you're depressed, call us because it's cheaper than putting you on some kind of healthcare plan and antidepressants and whatever. But if you're feeling sad, you can go on drugs for the rest of your life and sit on your butt. You know, it's like there's three types of people that I see in my walk right now, as a follower, as somebody that's awake, that's somebody that's plugged in with the Holy Spirit. There's three types of people that I see that I kind of associate with. I see the guys that talk the talk, right? They're the talkers, they're the pastors, some pastors, you know, and they preach. And then you got guys that are listeners, right? You've got guys that go to church every Sunday and they, you know, and they talk about it and they listen, you know, to what the pastor's telling them. And, you know, they read their Bibles a lot, you know, and they just read. And then you've got the guys that walk the walk, where you've got the activist types, you've got the non-conformers and sort of the rebellious types. And maybe not even that. Maybe it's like guys that go out there every day and freeze their butt off to feed people that are starving, or to give them blankets to people that are freezing, or guys that, you know, run up, you know, library steps to try to save kids from being sexually abused by guys in dresses. You know, those are the walk the walkers. Or you get the guys on the radio or the guys doing the videos on YouTube that are out there like you, that are that are talking and walking, that you're walking the walk. You're invested in this. You're getting to as many people as you can. You know, there's those three types of people in my life that I will associate with. And those, you know, and out of those three, people need to start deciding, which one are you going to be, man?
100%. Some people think like, oh, I don't have a platform and I can't do much. Guys, it's all but one at a time. You can start talking to your friends, your neighbors, your family. I mean, this is important. You need to take a stand. You need to speak up. You have to stop living in fear. It says in the Bible, it says, do not fear. Fear no man. I mean, this understanding of being in a continual state of fear. And this is how they're winning, guys. This is what they're doing. Satan's been doing this for a very long time, getting into a state of fear where you're like, well, I don't want to lose my job. Think about COVID, man. Think about COVID. A lot of people didn't want to do certain things. And guess what? Through fear and tactics and persuasion and coercion, they ended up doing stuff. I mean, this is disgusting. But worse than that is now, you know, this community guideline strike, like, oh, you know, you can't say certain things. You might offend a certain category of people. It's getting to a point now where you can't even communicate. You can't even discuss things. That's what they want. They want you to shut up. They want you to not talk anymore and go away. Basically, it's called self-censorship. They don't even have to worry about censoring people. They just have to get you to a point where you self-censor yourself. And we have to stop this. We have to join in unity. And again, not calling for violence. I'm not calling for hate. Saying, look, this is important. We're talking about absolutely defending women and defending children. That is what men were supposed to do. That's what they've been called to do. That is what their role is even to die for them. And what's happening right now, we've got a lot of weak men. And again, society, Satan, all these things are responsible for it. But this is what happens when you get into a point where you get comfy, you get lazy, and all of a sudden now you get your feet to the fire, and it's like, what are you going to do about it? They are coming for your children. In many cases, they've already got them. You know, you have to be very careful with what you're doing as a parent when it comes to your children. Understand that this is absolute warfare. If you didn't believe in spiritual warfare before, hopefully you believe it now, because you got Baphomet this half transgender, half woman, half man sitting there representing incredibly what the spiritual war is all about. It is about complete attack on God's creation, his created order, and everything that the Bible has to state when it comes to men and women, family, all of these things. You're seeing it. And how come there's such a direct assault where all of a sudden the world just goes this direction? It's all, this is progress. This is all old fashioned. We've heard this for so long. And before, a lot of people were like, well, what harm is it going to be? What harm? Guys, it's pedophilia. It is literally 100% a complete, I can't even explain to you exactly the times that we're in, because that is what we're looking at. They want to not only legalize it, they want to make it not only normal, they want to encourage it and celebrate it. There will be, if you do not get off your ass and start doing something and seriously praying and asking God, because again, God's waiting for you, yes, you, to absolutely start seeking him and saying, God, what am I to do? How am I going to be called to your war, to your army? He needs participants. And if you're sitting around doing nothing, then yes, the onus is on you. But when it comes down to it, this is the days we're living in. And soon we are going to see parades of pedophilia. That is right. You're going to see it blatantly in front of your face. You're starting to see some examples of it right now where they're starting to do certain things with children in these parades. But pretty soon you'll see a blatant celebration. And guess what? Pride. Pride becomes before the fall. The Bible's very clear what happens. And yet they celebrate pride of all things, pride being having a prideful heart before God. It's not going to end well. And as much as we don't like it, we definitely have to pray for these guys, because in many cases, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. They are blinded. It is for us to actually communicate. God speaks through us. Guys, that's the main way. The main way that God speaks to people is through the Bible. But if they're not reading the Bible, guess what? He speaks through people. He speaks through you and I. And it's important that we reach these people, even if you think they're far gone. We have somebody right now on the show that, trust me, I thought for years was far gone. There's no way. There's no possible way. Even God himself, I mean, he does miracles, but come on. Bill Connolly? And here we go. We're having a show and we're talking about this, but you have to understand, for many, many, many years, it almost seemed like a distant dream that this would ever occur, where Mr. Bill Connolly would be sitting there as an ambassador for Christ, sitting there and fighting in the good fight. So, guys, prayer works. Prayer is powerful. Before we get to the break, though, let's just play a little bit more and then we'll go to hour two.
I'd have said to her, I'd be like, lady, you're not going to shame me into fucking a dude. that's just it. And that's no beef to the dude.
But that is what made her so angry, is that Chase was just so unbothered by the idea that he's like hateful for saying that, you know?
It's crazy to me that like she demand you have sex with a guy or she will storm out of the room.
I love it. It's good content.
And she's like, you better let me watch too.
There's never been a better time to make liberals' heads explode. But another interesting thing about it too, if you look at the comments of the video, there's trans women in the comments who responded and they were like, dude, honestly, Chase, I didn't have a problem at all with what you said. Like, I totally respect your position. It's okay. I'm not offended. But she's out there defending these people that don't even care to be defended.
It comes from women's like pathological need for, you know, feeling like they're altruistic, that they're reaching down.
It's the motherhood impulse.
Yeah.
Redirected towards the oppressed, marginalized LGBTQI group.
Yeah. Dude, when I saw Drew Barrymore get on her knees for Dylan Mulvaney,
so weird,
and start
bro.
Crying,
so weird.
The first, and then they show the audience crying. The
audience of biological females were just clapping like,
and nearly crying. And there's only one thing that instantly popped in my head: repeal the 19th.
Yes, dude, let's go.
And I was just like, no. Why is it that?
Well,
I'm kidding, by the way, but.
Are you?
Well, you know what's interesting? You know what's interesting?
But women are for repealing 19.
Yes. That's the part that's interesting.
That's crazy if you actually think about it. Yep. That women now, and there is growing numbers. Trust me, I have them on as followers. I have them. I'm watching them. And again, they're saying stuff where I'm like, dang, girl, did you just say that? Like, where's this coming from? It's actually refreshing to see people with that pendulum going so far to the other side, kind of back to, you know, God's standard, where it's like before growing up, we could never say stuff like that. Oh, you know, and even today, even on this broadcast, we've all been, you know, we have to give this disclaimer, right? Oh, no, we love women and all women are equal and worth. But why can't we just state something the way God stated it? Of course, it should be a no-brainer. Of course, I love my wife, right? There's no reason why you have to equate these type of things, where the world will equate discipline with abuse. Oh, that's abusive. No, no, no. There's a difference between discipline and abuse. In the same regard, there's a big difference when it comes to the roles and the differences between men and women. And this whole idea that the world, and maybe quite possibly, Bill, God is using all these things to happen for certain things to take place. For example, through COVID, even though it was a horrific time, there were blessings in that time. For example, many, many people woke up to what was being taught to their children and pulled them out of school and started homeschooling. Homeschooling is up 400% in America alone. In the same regard, maybe all this stuff is getting so insane that people are starting to wake up and saying, no, 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 we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to God's truth. We need to get back to the Ten Commandments. We need to have a standard in our life that we can depend on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm, you know, my situation, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm seeing, you know, the guy that created Garfield, when he was talking about, well, if black people want to leave, then we should just leave them. We should just let black people be with black people and white people be with white people, because then you're not going to have these problems of inequality and blah, blah, blah. And it's getting to the point now where you're getting these drastic moves in different directions. So, you know, a lot of people want to move away from this craziness, move away from the cities, move away from all this secular stuff that's going on, right? Like, I never thought I would be talking like this ever.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's right. But I don't want to be around all this secular stuff anymore because it's getting crazy. But if I leave, then what happens? Then who's going to do what I'm doing? That's just going to be one less guy in the fight, right?
No, 100%.
I have to see where my loyalties lie. And obviously, you know where my loyalties lie. So what do I do? What do we do?
Yeah, well, I mean, we keep preaching the truth. I mean, we keep preaching the truth. God's word is more powerful than a double-edged sword. I mean, it is absolutely incredible. It cuts down to people's hearts. I mean, it does wake them up. That's why it's so important to literally go out and preach the good news. Give them the gospel. Keep in mind that when it comes down to just being bold and being out there in love, preaching the truth, people wake up. God's people wake up. I mean, it says, my sheep will hear my voice and will come to me, that will know who I am. Many times it says, you know, draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. There's so many different type of ideas there, but we need to understand that you have to make that push in people's lives. Even if it takes, like for Bill, I mean, I think I talked to him about God, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, it was a long time. It's like 20 years, 20 plus years. Oh, yeah. And trust me, I tried a lot. Again, God had his timing and had his plan. But the fact was, it was planting seeds. Guys, it's important, because regardless, even if you think that nothing will happen, it doesn't matter. You're being obedient to what God wants you to do. God wants you out there being proud of him, being proud of his son. It's always, how do you feel about his son? He will feel about you. Do you love him? Do you cherish him? Do you protect him? Do you defend him? You know, that if you're spitting on him, God's going to spit on you. He will treat you the way you treat his son. I always used to say that. It's almost like, you know, understand what you're doing. And when you're using his name as a filthy cuss word, or you're damning God or whatever like that, why would you say your mother's name when all of a sudden you stubbed your toe? Why are you saying his name? Why aren't you saying, like, devil damn it? I used to joke around, like, it should be devil damn it. You know what I mean? Like, why is it, of all things, because everyone's, I believe in God. Like, why are you damning him? We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We got hour two coming up. Me and Bill Conley. Don't go anywhere.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Revolution Radio. Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's Ivan Baker. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at buyer risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to Hour 2. It's Celebrate Truth. I'm your host, Robbie Davidson. Joined with me this evening is Bill Connolly, and we're talking about the insane clown world that we live in. And speaking of roles, Bill, we were talking about... what's that?
I said insane in the Ukraine.
Insane in the membrane. Speaking of like roles, I don't know if you had a chance to hear the new drop track from Bryson Gray, but I wanted to play a little bit because, my goodness, man, it is so amazing to see people dropping stuff like this in this day and age. And, man, people are loving it. So far, there's been a ton of moms that have been starting putting videos with their kids in it, dancing to this song. Let's play a little bit of it here and see what everyone thinks. But I thought he knocked this one out of the park. It's called Homemakers. And it's basically talking about the difference between being a woman that understands her role versus a woman of the world. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this one. Check it out. This one for the homemakers. Here we go. Your girl a feminist, my girl traditional, my girl conservative, your girl a liberal, your girl got OnlyFans, my girl ain't sending news, your girl can't cook, my girl can do it in the kitchen too. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, dancing through a homemaker. Check the lyrics. Hey, this one for the homemakers. Hey, this gonna be your wifey favorite song. You providing that work, cause she take care of the home. And she homeschooling, teaching your children what's right or wrong. Instead of letting the government turn them into clones. Hey, two parents working and who raising the children. Indoctrination programs is where you choosing to send them. And I know it's not on purpose, but let's look at it different. And please think about it first before you get in your feelings. Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? Where they at? They the culture changers. They the culture makers. She the queen. She the teacher. She the chef and baker. When you do it God's way, then he gonna show you favor. Hey, Proverbs 31:30 type of woman. 1 Timothy 2:9 type of woman. She not a Jezebel. You see those that start running. God way of the highway. That's just how we coming. Hey, your girl a feminist. My girl traditional. My girl conservative. Your girl a liberal. Your girl got OnlyFans. My girl ain't sending news. Your girl can't cook. My girl can do it in the kitchen too. Hey, this one for the homemakers.
Next up is Tyson James.
This one for the homemakers.
Track.
My girl is chill, your girl is drama. My girl is sober, your girl on marijuana. My girl submit and you married to your mama. My girl is so content and bro, your girl a prima donna. I need that put me on the throne type of woman. That never withhold talking that grown type of woman. That taking care of business when I'm gone type of woman. That greet you at the door when I come home type of woman. Learn how to cook, that's the way to his heart. Don't bicker with the man, gotta pray and be smart. Let the man lead, always stay when it's hard. And he'll treat you like a queen, he'll light the way in the dark. Look, my girl is modest, yo girl is... My girl the hottest, yo girl a mutt. My girl the calmest, and yo girl is a nut. I must be honest, bro, yo girl kinda sucks.
Hey, yo girl a feminist, my girl traditional. My girl conservative, yo girl a liberal. Yo girl got OnlyFans, my girl ain't sending news. Yo girl can't cook, my girl can do it in the kitchen too. Hey, this one for the homemakers. What a track, man. He dropped that, and I'll tell you, it's really cool to see all the women that are actually making kind of like videos, and they're with their kids, and they're doing different things, the crafts, and they're cooking together, and like all these homeschooling moms. There was this one mom that had like, I think, 12 children, and they're like, it's this huge, like, he has it on his Twitter. Go check out Bryson Gray, and he featured it.
I need to send that to my daughter.
It's hilarious. Amazing. It's so good. Yeah, it's so good. But yeah, check out Bryson Gray. He actually does Bible studies multiple times a week on Twitter Spaces, and he's a really sharp dude. But he comes out with a new song every Friday. He's consistently put out a new track every Friday for probably the last 2-3 years. He's got an enormous catalog, and like every song is like, he's got different types, and if you're not a fan of hip-hop, he probably has some stuff that you'd enjoy as well. But listen to the lyrical content, it's great
lyrically, and just he's on point, he's right on, like his timing is perfect. And I critique, man, you know me,
I know that, yeah,
wow, yeah. I'm grooving.
No, man, I've been working out, listening to Bryson, man. He's got like, it's great because the lyrics go in your head too. And he's got some really good tracks, good beats. But I'll tell you, his lyrics are strong, and you need that stuff. You need to be plugged in to some good stuff, even when you're listening to music.
You could just feel Holy Spirit just going through you, man.
Yeah.
Like when I'm hearing that song, I'm just vibing. Wow.
Yeah.
You just hear one of them preachers preach, and you just get that rush of Holy Spirit run through you, right? And it's just... or something happens, or you experience, I was just, in that song, I was just vibing to it, just nodding you know? Yeah, if you ever feel disconnected from God, man, just find something like that, because you'll get reconnected, man. It's amazing what music can do. Music saved my life. I would be in jail if it wasn't for music.
Yeah, man, music's powerful. I've been talking about it for years, right? And it's important to, you know, what you're plugging yourself into, right? It's like garbage in, garbage out. If you're listening to the lyrics that basically draw you closer to God, it basically, you start not kind of living in the fear and the anxiety and all these things that we go through in life and stuff. You got to be plugged in and believe in the promises of God. I mean, he's true. And, you know, he's got this calling for your life and he's powerful, man. And he can use you. You just have to be willing. You just have to be able and you have to give him, you know, basically tell him that you're here to be used by him for his glory. And I'll tell you, man, the most amazing things happen. But seeing that there's a lot of Christian rappers now that for a long time, you know, there was a lot of Christian rap, but I see it now as they're getting a lot more cultural. They're really hitting the issues because we're at situation critical. We really are when it comes to all these craziness that we keep seeing, especially with the attack of men and women and family and marriage and everything that we've discussed. I want to continue on. We've got about five more minutes of the Tim Pool and Sovereign Bruh is what he goes by. His name's Chase. And then Mary having this discussion because they get into a few key things and we'll discuss right after.
Of women are recognizing that these other women who are voting for all of these things and pushing our country in that direction, those women are putting normal women at risk by supporting all of this stuff because you have transgender people that are going in women's spaces now, and it's mandated that they be able to do that by law. You have transgender women that are going to female prisons and they're raping female prisoners, and there's a lot of normal women who, ironically, do support repealing the 19th because they see how women having the right to vote is hurting other women. Which is a very interesting discussion in our country. Mm-hmm. I'm curious where that one's going to go.
Well, so WeSpa is the best example. Excuse me. WeSpa was when there's this viral video of a woman being like, there's a man in the women's room exposing his penis to little girls. And they're like, ma'am, it's a trans person. There's nothing we can do. And she goes, no, it's not. It's a man. Turns out it was a man, not a trans person, who had a history of exposing himself to women.
Wow.
But because of the whole political debate, they immediately assumed, well, it must be a trans woman. They didn't even fucking go check.
Well, what's the difference?
The guy got arrested for exposing himself.
What's the fundamental difference, though?
Check this out. Check this out.
There's a political argument. So the point is this. If it actually was a trans person, we'd have an argument over what's wrong with these laws. But the fact is, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was a guy who was not trans,
yeah,
who wanted to show his penis.
Was he even like cross-dressing? Or
my understanding is he was not, and he had a history of doing this and had been arrested for it before. And they didn't even go check. The fact that the whole trans argument existed, they were just like, you know.
It's the assumption is like, oh, you're just being a hysterical woman. Shut
up.
Dude, check this out. So I used to work at a lifeguard at a pool.
Okay.
And we had all these like homeless people in the area. There's a lot of homeless people in the city. There's this one guy, this homeless guy, who would come into the pool and he would literally just put a wig on his head, wearing male clothes, like unshaven beard, all this stuff. He would put a wig on his head. And we, by law, I, as an employee, by law, I had to allow him to go into the women's restroom.
When
this was like 2019.
Wow.
Yeah, I could not stop him from going into the women's restroom because he was identifying as a female. And there were like little girls in there and stuff. And like every freaking cell in my body was like, dude, you need to stop this guy. And my boss was like, if you do, there's going to be lawsuits against us and you'll probably get fired. And I'm just like,
yeah,
dude,
there'll be lawsuits.
Because there's little girls in the restroom and like, who knows what this guy is going to do? And the fact that people can't, like me can't stop it, it's like, what do you do about
that? And moms are the ones that are leading the charge now because of that.
As they should.
So the issue is for trans people, before this whole thing became a major political debate, trans women were using women's bathrooms and no one really ever said anything. It wasn't a cultural thing. Then they started passing these laws and now you get people who exploit it. Like you mentioned the prison thing.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that the stories are inmate identifies as transgender, transferred to female prison, rapes inmates. I'm pretty sure they're not trans. I'm pretty sure they're exploiting the law.
100%.
And because 100%. A lot of these guys are not trans, go to jail, and then all of a sudden are like, I'm trans now, can I go to the woman's prison? And they
100%.
Yeah.
But how are we supposed to read your conscience if you genuinely identify as trans or not?
Well, like, no, there's examples.
You just don't do cross-sex prisons.
Yes. Yeah. There's examples where dudes will get convicted of a crime, and then just before their sentencing and their trial and stuff, they will like all of a sudden change their gender just so they can go to a female prison.
If you feel uncomfortable being around other male inmates, you can go to solitary.
Yeah, I think like we need to really like separate the males and the females and have like a they them section where we can send all these like bathrooms.
No, we can all
prisons.
Just go to go.
Yeah, just go in there.
The answer to everything is gender nonconforming designated space.
Yeah.
So for prisons, there should be gender nonconforming prisons. That means that biological males identify as female have a space, and females identify as male have a space, and it can be very small. The budget has to be big for it. Bathrooms. You know what the easiest thing to the bathroom debate is? Single room bathrooms.
There you go.
And that's what they're doing now in New York.
Even that feels like too much of a concession, honestly.
No, I, dude.
Why can't we just enforce that you go in the bathroom?
I'll tell you why. Because when I go to the bathroom at like a restaurant and the stall is paper thin and some dude's next to me going,
I've never said that public bathrooms are like the best thing ever, but
so give
just,
me my own fucking
it feels,
room.
It does feel like
I love
a concession to just be like, okay, we're appeasing you. We're going to make everyone comfortable.
Yeah, but I win from it. Like my thing is I go to a restaurant now in New York and there's like three rooms that you go in and lock the door. And it's not just about the other guy going, it's about me doing that too and not wanting to be around a bunch of people who are like, oh, the smell. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, I just got a shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I like private room bathrooms. It works for everybody. If the end result is a net positive, fuck it, I don't care. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But that being said, the solution to a lot of this is like trans leagues, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And the NFL 100%. The NHL did that. And conservatives still got mad. And I was like, what are you mad about? They did a transgender league with trans women and trans men, and they're playing hockey against each other. Okay. And then I saw a bunch of conservatives be like, men shouldn't be competing with
women. Honestly,
the most
entertaining thing would be to see these trans women competing against normal dudes. Like, I would love to see that in the UFC.
They'd
like,
probably lose because
they'd absolutely
hormones
lose.
Do have an impact.
Absolutely. So but it would be entertaining.
Here's the thing, though. You know who Isaac Hennig is?
No.
Isaac Hennig is a female who was competing on the women's team swimming alongside a male competing on the women's team and trans. So why is it that a trans man, female, and a trans woman are only competing against women? So what happened was Isaac Hennig wrote an op-ed for the New York Times saying, I switched to the men's team and now I'm losing.
Interesting.
So what the fuck, man? Like, a female knows that even with hormones and mastectomies and all that, that they still lose against men on average. And so they were choosing to compete against women because of the benefits of it. Like, that's like... We know they're lying.
It's so transparent. Yeah. Wasn't that guy, Leah Thomas, wasn't he like 180th in the men's league in swimming or something? And then he became first.
No, I think he's actually really good.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think.
No, anyways, that Leah Thompson or whatever it wasn't, he was like 180th in his men's league. He went into the women's league and he became number one. So go figure. There's a lot of men that are starting to do that as well, too, because they suck at sports. So they're like, I want to be number one. So I'm going to compete against women. It's unfair, man. I'm telling you right now, people need to protect women. Right now, they're not. I mean, they're being railroaded. They're being sexualized. They're being abused. And this idea that literally men just saying, oh, I feel like a woman, I'm going to go in and start exposing myself. And, well, we can't do nothing about it. What do you think, Bill? I think it's absolutely disgusting.
What happened to you know, all the women that want to protect their children? Like, what happened to those women? Like, what happened to women like our moms? Where did they go?
They've been zombified, man. They've been zombified.
Who's saying it's okay, you know, to take your kids to certain events or to teach your kids certain things or to try to turn your kids into sexes that they're not? Like, what? What? Like, where did that break in society happen? Like, between my generation and, like, is it at my kids' age or are they younger? Are they, like, where is it, man?
I know it's
something insane. Happened. We got unhinged somewhere. Like somewhere. I mean, we were on the wrong kind of the wrong track, but it was a kind of a slower road. But we really derailed, man. There was a derailing point.
Oh my goodness! Like, oh my goodness,
within the last 5 years, somewhere.
Yeah.
Where it's just gone off the rails.
Yeah, you think? I mean, we've gone right off the rails. There's no doubt about it. Just you look at everything in our society and you're just like, what is going on, man? It's absolutely insane. Oh, man, it's crazy, man.
And I was thinking of something, too. We were talking about earlier about now's the time that people are starting to awaken. And, you know, I don't know how certain people, I know how, you know, so I see certain Christians on sides of the road with signs and banners and yelling and screaming. And I see, you know, some people that are a lot different than that. It's at the point now in society where you really don't even have to bring up God in order to show the lunacy and just where we're going and how close we are to war and all these things. Like, we've never been this close to nuclear war ever.
No, I know.
And everything that we're going through right now is a carbon, is very similar to what we went through before World War II.
Yeah. No, I know. And part of me thinks that, you know, this is inevitable just because you always see war, you know, post a financial collapse or getting near one. And I think that, all, like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, that, yeah, the cracks are starting to appear all throughout when it comes to the financial system. And I mean, I could go on an entire show on the state that people are in when it comes to the finances and what the government has done and the banks. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, they have the military and they're going to try to enforce it and they're going to try to get as much resources as they can of the world. I think that's one of the biggest plays right now with Russia. Mm-hmm. They can't have Russia being in a position when it comes to their resources, and they're going to make him into Hitler, the bad guy, and we got to do something. But now, you know, China shaking hands and having some good talks, and now it's turning into a little bit more of a problematic thing. But don't think that America is going to back down. I think that they're headlong going forward with this, escalating. And now they have actually, was it UK that sent depleted uranium rounds for the anti, like the tank, the armor or whatever.
It was the UK.
Was the UK, yeah. So anyways, the yeah. fact is that that's the start of the escalation with nuclear warfare, because that is a very, very, you know, it's a start. It's minor, but again, they say it gets in the dust, and then all of a sudden it is radioactive. So Russia came out just 3 days ago and said, well, there you go. We have our green light. You've already now started sending in a nuclear, so we're going to start upping the ante there. So they're basically saying, you provoked us now to go to the next stage. So we'll see what happens, but it ain't good, man. It ain't good when they start
sending
stuff.
Well, you know what happened within the last 24 hours in Russia is one of their facilities that produces nuclear, it's some type of nuclear factory in Russia, was just attacked and destroyed. So
oh, wow.
And there's been another act of aggression.
I think I saw some
Russia
that.
To one of
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've told people before, I say we're already in World War III. It's just not official yet, but like World War III has already started. I think that the history books will show that the World War III had already begun in 2022. People just weren't aware yet. It is already basically.
Get your bug out bags ready. Get your bug out bags ready.
Crazy, man. It's crazy. Let's continue on with Selvin Brough here. There's a second thing getting into indoctrination with children, and I think it's a great clip to play.
The question on my mind when I hear the Beautiful Ones study and the fact that these mice could be placed into a normal mice population and they begin spreading the social contagion. The question on my mind is, how do we as a culture develop an immune system to that social contagion so it doesn't completely take over everything? Because right now it is completely taking over everything.
It is, but for the people who live in rural areas,
yeah.
who still have to work hard to survive,
yeah.
it's not impacting them because they see physical hardship. Whereas with the Beautiful Ones in Universe 25, it was a box.
Right.
You could not escape it. Imagine if New York had walls around it. Well, yeah, then everyone in New York's going to lose their minds. But we're outside of it. So basically, the rats that were outside of those experiments just went on doing rat shit. They're fine.
Right.
Rat civilization has not collapsed, just that one city. So I kind of look at it like conversations like this exist because we are people who actually deal with harsh realities and are looking at them and fighting to survive. And people in cities have become listless and confused. So what I think is going to happen is I do feel like the inevitable result is wokeness and the left completely collapse and eradicate themselves. And it's horrifying if you think about it, but they're sterilizing their kids and they're aborting their kids. So the future is going to be
eating fake meat, and they're like buying into climate change propaganda about not having kids, and they're doing other things.
They can do whatever the fuck they want, yeah. but the end result is going to be they don't have kids,
yep.
or they sterilize their kids.
Which is why our side needs to have as many kids as humanly possible and be fruitful and multiply.
But they're not either.
But they're wondering,
we need to change that.
Can
we
vaccinate
that.
And sterilize and indoctrinate enough children faster than they are having the children? That's what they're wondering right now.
That's what they're wondering, and we should make a clear answer. No, you cannot. We need to outbreed them.
I don't think it matters because that's inevitable no matter what. The end result, you see these viral photos of like, man, the liberals get so crazy about it. it showed 12 kids all lined up from tallest to shortest.
Yeah.
And the mother was smiling like this.
Yeah.
And then they were like, man, they should tie your tubes or whatever. And it's just like, that picture is your defeat.
Yes.
And like, yes. I don't have kids.
The sexual liberation people are like, sterilize her now.
Oh, no, there's going to be too many of them. We can't indoctrinate them quick enough. So I don't know if I worry about it too much. I mean, I think we have to speak up against it because we have to maintain the barrier where we're talking to people, and the people who are willing to listen and understand what's happening will be pulled from it. But the end result, no matter what, whether we talk about it or not, will be the total collapse of this ideology. That being said, I think conversations like this will protect a larger group of people. If we weren't talking about it, if we weren't fighting back against it, 10%, you know, of whatever group may persist, we talk about it, we could actually save a larger amount of people from the corrupt 100%. Ideology.
There's another aspect to this that's very interesting to me. So that clip of me saying that I would not have sex with a trans person because it would make me homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Last I looked, it had somewhere, this was like a couple weeks ago, somewhere around like 30 million views.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, which,
and it's just you being like, I'm a guy.
The fact that this is a message that even needs to be vocalized out loud. You know?
And 100%. The interesting part about it, like, what I said was so normal. Like we're all thinking it. You know what I mean? Like, we're all thinking, I don't.
Andrew Tate's not.
Apparently not.
That was
weird. He might have just been, you know. You just got to move that shit around, and then you're good with Megan Fox. That's Andrew Tate's.
You're not good. What are you talking about? Like,
but the point is that.
Where are you putting
prison
it?
Prison did things to him.
The point is that, like, as it's gone viral, I've heard from so many people, both men and women, who are like, dude, thank you for saying what we were all thinking.
Yeah.
And guys, like, they've reached out to me and they've been like, dude, like, I saw your clip. I feel really called to start speaking up against this stuff right now. And that's the domino effect that I really want to see happen.
But look, so
especially because you're just a normal person.
I'm just a normal person who said what we're all thinking. And like, that's all you have to do. I didn't say anything super extraordinary. And there's so many guys out there that could say the same thing. And they need to. You guys need to. Like, that's how we defeat this stuff.
I told this will be the third time I've told this story, but it's just too good. I was at the casino last week. We're at the poker tables, and this guy's got a Bowser toy. Because, like, when you play poker, people have a thing called a hand protector. They put it on top of their card.
Bowser, like, from Mario?
Yeah, from Mario.
Okay.
And then somebody made a joke about it. Somebody mentioned Mario. Someone then said, is there an evil Toad because there's an evil Luigi or whatever? And then I said, Toad is evil. The mushroom people are actually cordyceps fungus-infected people, like in Last of Us, and everybody laughs. And then one guy goes like, yeah, you watch that show? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't played the video game. And he's like, yeah, it's really good. I really enjoy it. Except for that one episode.
Where they've got the gay scene out of nowhere.
The gay sex scene. And then everyone looks like shifty-eyed at each other. And then we all start laughing. And we're like, I go, I think I know what episode you're talking about. And he's like, what the fuck, man? And then other people at the table are just like, that dude should have got kicked out the moment he tried to play the piano. Like... The episode has a lot of gay sex in it, and it's just – and, like, they show it. And my point is regular people sitting at a casino who don't know anything about politics were just like, yo, what the fuck? I don't – what is this?
Yeah.
Here's the issue. Like, I got no beef if gay people want to have a movie for gay people. Like that movie Bros. Do you see that one?
No.
Obviously not the movie, but, like, the commercials for it.
Well, yeah, and then it did terribly, and then they blamed straight people.
Oh, because, now I remember that.
Because, listen – okay, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate.
Why won't you buy my spinach asparagus ice cream?
Because it's disgusting.
You're a bigot. You have to buy it.
I'm a bigot.
See, this is the thing. They're like, why didn't anybody go see my gay bro movie? And it's like, they don't hate you. They're just not gay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, For the Last of Us.
Let me ask you a question about when they were talking about that at the bar. When he said poker table. When he said that, do you think everybody at the table was thinking the same thing? Like, yeah, that was.
They were all laughing.
Yeah.
And everybody, like, that's the point. Like, when he said it, everybody starts looking left and right because you're not allowed to talk politics at the poker table because it's a casino. It's like a public thing. And so they're like, no. But so then he's like, that one episode. Because he knows he can't literally say it. And then everyone just starts looking at each other and they all start nodding. And then I start busting out laughing.
See, bro, that's the point. That's the point, man.
We don't want to watch that.
They're trying to put us in this corner to make us convinced that we are not allowed to talk about this stuff. But everyone's thinking the same thing. I hate this.
They want you to think you're the only one who's doubting it.
That's why they have to spend billions of dollars trying to propagandize everybody. Because the reality is that we're all thinking the same thing.
I don't think it's that conspiratorial. I think
it is.
It's a runaway cult. it's dominoes falling over, right? California, everyone virtue signals. They're all like, I'm the most woke. No, I'm woke. So then the politician goes, I'll be woke for you. The politician doesn't actually give a shit about any of this, but California is proposing a new rule where if you don't meet your diversity requirements in your film project, they take away your tax benefits. So
they've done that. Gavin Newsom passed a law too that says you have to have a certain amount of people of color or homosexuals or whatever on the board of your company.
So if you're making a movie and you're Hollywood and they make most of it, then they're going to be like, okay, we need an episode that's got gay interracial sex.
Yeah.
And Last of Us, 30% of the show is gay relationships. And I'm just like,
bro,
they spent all of episode 7 on it as well.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, and I think 3 and 7, I'm like, fair point. The actress said, if you don't like it, don't watch it. And I'm like, that's absolutely correct. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Me, I like the show, but I don't much care for that weird injection of stuff. So I kind of just glaze over it and ignore it.
So let me ask you a question. The companies that are doing this, making movies like Bros or TV shows like The Last of Us, they see that these things aren't popular with the general population, but these companies also have a capitalist incentive to produce content that makes a financial return. And if people hate this stuff and they're rejecting this stuff, why do they keep pumping money into producing this
stuff? No, they're stopping.
Are they?
Yeah, Netflix is big news we talked about the other day. They're canning a bunch of their woke programming. So they had this viral kids show they made about a non-binary bull.
I saw this.
Canceled outright.
It's a show for toddlers, and it's like a baby bison talking to its grandmother and saying that it wanted to go by Fred because it's more like authentic to their non-binary identity.
Non-binary.
This is for like 3-year-olds.
Interesting.
And they canceled it, thankfully, but not after years and years of struggling with this and losing subscribers. You can tell that they don't actually care that much about profits if they're doing this.
Well, now they do, because now they're reversing and they're canceling a bunch of stuff and their subscribers are going up.
They've kind of gone to a point where they can't be taken down, you know?
Sure.
They keep throwing money at things.
Here's what we need to do.
What do we need to do, Tim?
We need a write-in campaign to uncancel The Order. The show called The Order. You guys ever heard of it?
No.
Oh, you'd love it.
What's the premise?
No, oh, okay. I'm like wearing a Twilight hoodie.
Right, exactly. So it's a college, and it's not vampires, witches and werewolves.
Okay.
I think there's vampires or whatever. The villain in season 2 is a university professor communist who has this basically what happens is he's like, it's not fair that some people have magic. We should all have magic equally. And so then I'm like, this is great. This is exactly the politics that I want in my TV. They canceled it. It got 2 seasons. It got canceled.
All right. So there we go. It's interesting that, all these hit shows and stuff, they're injecting all this stuff, even when the majority of people really don't like it. They cringe. And some people will say, oh, you just got to get used to it and stuff. But you guys, you have to understand where it goes, man. It is literally children. That is the grand finale of this sick, sexual, depraved mindset. Evil mindset is the children. It always has been about the children. And Satanism, one of the greatest things is to defile children. I mean, if you get into the really dark arts, it's actually their blood. And babies and all this, and we won't get into that, but I will just say this, that it has always been about the children, and you're seeing this right in front of your eyes, man. Where is it going to be, Bill, in 5-10 years if people really don't stand up and speak out and stop this? What do you think we're going to be seeing in 10 years from now?
I think you're going to be seeing the draft getting reinstated. I think you're going to see... You think the world is different now. The world is going to be a completely different place. I think you're going to see the separation of states and provinces. You're going to see people starting colonies and, things like, colonies, people moving out of the city en masse together and starting their own new towns, new cities. The states will break away. And this is all going to happen in the middle of a civil war. I think that Canada and the U.S. are both going to go up, but I think the U.S. will, I don't know, start to say which one is going to break first. And it really depends on the situation in Europe right now, because that's Europe is falling apart as well.
So you've seen France? You've been watching France, the footage from France?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. And they're revolting. And a lot of it is, it's so complex that people don't want to even start getting into it. But it gets into mass immigration, letting in a bunch of, you know, people from different countries. The whole European Union thing was the worst thing they could have ever done. You know, hence Brexit, which it's ruined. I mean, England is not England anymore. England is more like Somalia or Pakistan. And now when you start speaking the truth, you actually start sounding like a racist. But it's not racist. It's just mass immigration. Now you're seeing mass immigration to Canada. You're seeing mass immigration into the U.S.
Yeah.
Trump announced today that he figures the numbers are somewhere near the end of the year are going to be 15 million people that they've illegally let into the United States. And that's not even the legal ones. Wow. That's just illegals, 15. And so you can imagine how many are coming into Canada and how many are trickling through Canada into the States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so complex. And we're talking about women voting. It's getting to the point of, you know, from something as simple as just women voting, which is not simple at all, to all out, you know, fifth generational warfare that's going on right
now. Dude, they want it that non-U.S. citizens can vote. They want non-U.S. citizens to be able to vote without even an ID. I mean, how insane is that?
Without ID. Yep. And they're going to allow prisons. They're going to allow old folks' homes just to do it all in like mass bundle, just like because that's how the Democrats run it, right? Because they're so corrupt, they just go out and they pay everybody, and it's all money, money, money. Yeah. And what does a poor people want money, right? So how are you going to get poor people's vote? You're going to give them money. How are you going to get poor people to take the jab? You're going to give them money.
Yeah, well, they did. They gave them a Big Mac, man. They offered them burger and fries in New York. Yeah.
Yep.
You knew something stunk. You knew something was real fishy, man, when he's sitting there. Remember, he's eating the burger? He's eating the burger. Have you seen the clip where he's literally eating the burger on air?
No.
He's eating those fries. Like, these are good fries. I'm like, this has turned into
all these guys are getting the shot on the air. They're not getting the shot.
No.
On the air. You think Fauci's getting the shot? You think Biden's getting the shot? They're not getting the shot, man.
No.
That's crazy.
They get saline solution or something.
But you talk to people and it's like, you know, you kind of know where somebody is by whether they've been vaccinated or not, like right away, right? If somebody says they haven't been vaccinated, then you know right away that if their reason, well, they would probably only have one reason, and that's that they're awakened, right?
Yeah.
People can hear the truth. And that's a kind of a point that I wanted to get to before, but I lost my train of thought. But people can preach to people now without even having to bring God into it. And they just kind of slip God in right at the last minute. You know, you don't have to be all churchy with certain people, you know, because I'm definitely not that kind of person. I wouldn't react well to getting preached at or churchy, you know, and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, I love Jesus Christ, man. Don't get me wrong, but you know, you have to approach people in different ways. So the point I'm trying to make is in this culture war, you can approach people now and just drop facts, political facts, or even truths about what's going on in the world and not even have to bring God up. God is just an eventual thing that people will come to once they're awakened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways that you can wake people, wake them up first, right? And if... Yeah. You'll know in your heart, Holy Spirit will tell you exactly how to approach people, you know, like, so like
I agree. You got to stand up at this point. You got to stand up again, you know, right and wrong, good and evil. I mean, we literally are in that war. I do agree because
be silent.
Tim Pool, you know, he's not a Christian and all that, but again, he's fighting on that side, you know what I mean? Of good in many areas. Yeah. And there's a lot of people now where I say, it's like, listen, man, we're at war, especially during the COVID. I mean, it was like, hey man, you know, you might have an issue with this church, but they're standing up against the government. Like, can you not support them then? You're a Christian. and you're still not standing in support. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that really was problematic, is like they're sitting there defending your liberties, your freedom. You know, why in the world wouldn't you stand with them? But, you know, a lot of Christians, wow, not very loving in Jesus. And it's just like, oh my goodness. It's just like, this is not the time to be all nitty pity and getting into, you know, doctrinal differences. It's time to stand together.
Yeah,
especially
worry about dropping F-bombs or whatever bombs, right? We're at the point now where you need to wake people up. Like,
yeah, 100%.
And do it however you can do it. And if it's not politically correct, it's not politically correct. Sure. It doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, like, this is saving people. This is, this is the end of the world type stuff. And, you know, if you're not awake, you know, if you're in, if you can hear what we're saying, then you're awake to the point where, you know, you are, you know, an activist inside. You just got to get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a part to play. And like I said, even one person at a time, you don't have to have like a broadcast or a YouTube channel or, you know, just any which way that you can start doing it. And again, community is so important, guys. Like, make sure that you have a lot of like-minded people around your circle, not just online. Try to find those people. You're going to need them in the days coming up. You just are going to need them. And if you think you can do this alone, you can't. It's a lie from the devil. You want community. You want to have that family. You know, church is important. All these things, don't disregard them, because you might say, oh, things are going on right now, but there will come a time where you will absolutely need to depend on that fellowship and those people that surround you in your circle. But it's important to have like-minded people. There's safety in numbers. There's strength in numbers. And that's what we're looking at here. As the days get darker, remember that we are the light. We're the salt in this world. These are important things to remember when it comes to, you know, the war that we all find ourselves in. And when it comes down to the children and women, as men, you need to stand your ground. You need to start speaking up for them. It's what you have been called. That's what you were created for. Don't think anything different. It's been like that so very long throughout time. And they're just eroding every single facet of our society. Anything to do that's good, holy, righteous. It's a war, good versus evil. And what side are you going to be on? You can't sit on the fence anymore. You used to. You used to be able to sit on the fence with a lot of stuff. But now you're in a group of people. This topic comes up. You've got to say where you stand. So either you're going to be hated by that group, ostracized, or you are going to, you know, fall in line and be one of the people, right? So, yeah, I just say that over and over again. It's like there's the time of being on the fence is over. You're going to have to actually pick a side on these issues. You just are. You can't basically play the middle ground. You can't be lukewarm. You've got to be either hot or cold. That is the only way. God even says that he basically has no taste whatsoever for lukewarm people. It's either you're hot or you're cold. So again, decide, you know, today who you're going to serve and what you're going to be about, what your life going to be dedicated to. And be on the right side of history, guys. Be on the right side of history as far as things go. Would your children be proud of you? Would your grandchildren be proud of you? Like, is it something that you are like, I fought, I went to jail for, or I lost my head for, or whatever? It doesn't matter. Are you going to stand for what is right? Because everyone around can see exactly what's going on. And I think fear plays a big part in why people don't do anything, is because they're scared. They're scared to lose their livelihood. They're scared that they're going to lose family members, that the people are going to turn on them. But yeah, it's tough. It is tough, but you got to do what's right. You got to say what's right. And I'm just happy that you're seeing a lot more people that are taking that stand. And social media does allow us that, where you do see a tremendous amount of people. If we were in a day and age where we didn't have social media or the internet or whatever, you imagine how alone you might be feeling. But again, you know it's out there. I mean, we just listened to a broadcast. It's a fairly large broadcast, one of the biggest. And they're talking about these issues like repealing the 19th Amendment. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever hear that in my entire life on a show that large, that they say that with a straight face. And it was the girl like that said it, you know, afterwards. She's like, are you sure? Like, really? Are you not kidding? Like, Tim was kind of like, huh, I'm kind of kidding. But, you know, she's like, no, like there's a lot of women now that are saying we are seeing the fact that they are putting us in a very unsafe position by them voting. Emotionally being like zombified and just going, okay, I'll just vote for whatever media and what the Hollywood tells me and celebrities. We've got to do better than that, guys. We got to do better. And especially when it comes to the next generation. Oh man, it's does that kind of, I don't know, upset you a little, Bill, knowing that the next generation is going to be the ones that are going to be running everything here soon?
It's worrisome, yeah. It really is. Men need to start really being men again, understanding what their roles are, and the same as women. And we need to start having respect for each other again, because you look at these liberals now, these leftoids, they're yelling and screaming like children, la 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 la, and repeating themselves or getting violent right away and just, you know, start cussing and throwing punches. You know, that's what you're up against. You're up against these nut jobs. You're up against people that have mental illness, and their mental illness is being celebrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, and their diversities of mental illnesses are being celebrated, and it's being pushed on normal people like it's supposed to be normal. So half of our craziness is trying to fit, you know, like, how is this abnormality being pushed on me? This isn't normal. So if you're realizing that this isn't normal, then good, because what you're seeing is not normal. What's going on is not normal. What's happening is not normal, you know? So unnormal times call for unnormal measures, I guess. So outside the box.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there when it came to like celebrating mental illness. I've always been saying that. Like, we live in a society now where people are literally celebrating mental illness. And I say that with all sincerity. We're celebrating mental illness. We're pushing it on children. We're dignifying it. We're, you know, celebrating it, but we're also I don't know, man. It's beyond even that now. I mean, like I mentioned before, having
when did gingers get their souls back all of a sudden, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's unbelievable to me, though. Like I said before, having parades, you know, pedophiles and stuff like that. And it's just like, yep, this is the world. And it's unfortunate, but this is what happens with a world that turns their back on God and says, no, 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 we got it all figured out. We're going to do it our way. And again, it turns into just a hell on earth. It really does. And we're starting to see, my opinion, glimpses. Like, I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But there possibly is a breaking point where all of a sudden things just snap or it implodes on each other. You know, Tim Pool was bringing up a good point, but the fact of the matter is they're sterilizing them. They're killing their children. I mean, just population alone, when it comes to who's going to win that battle, give it enough generations. If those generations do exist, then they are not having the amount of children. That's why they're so desperate to indoctrinate your children, is because they're not having any of their own.
Let's let all the Muslims in. You know, I'm not.
No, no, no. But even the Muslims. But even the Muslims stand up against this crap.
Yeah, they're having a lot of kids. So before you know it, everybody's going to be a Muslim in Alberta.
Well, that's another discussion for sure. Yeah, that's another. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's what's happening.
But
in Europe.
It goes from there to there to there. It's true. Not only, you know, it's a complete culture war, and it's a literal culture war right now. It's a war of culture.
What's interesting about that is, let's just say the Muslims did take over, all this stuff would go away in 3 seconds. I'm not advocating saying it's good if the Muslims took over the whole world, but this all this trans
you start chopping heads off on TV, that's gonna shut a lot of people down. I'll tell you that much.
Oh my goodness, yeah, like they just have absolutely, you know, and that's the thing when it comes to it. But they're slowly taking over. I mean, Europe is a prime example of, you know, what's taking place. I mean, a lot of those countries, like you had mentioned before, but a lot of those countries, they've lost their entire identity. They've lost their culture. It's basically Muslims have like completely taken over a lot. And it says in the Quran,
people in France don't even speak French anymore.
No,
they speak Arabic.
And it says in the Quran, it says, when you don't have the underhand, make peace. But once you do have, you know, that position, make war. I mean, the Quran literally says to make war once you can. But before that, you make peace. Like, you come in peaceful, you do your thing. But once you're at certain numbers, it says you need to take over. Like, the Quran, for people that really have not studied, Islam, the Quran is really, really telling when it comes to what it advocates. I mean, it basically commands Muslims to lie in order to further their agenda. That's no joke. I mean, this is what the Quran teaches, right? So we're not going to get into other religions in this broadcast. But again, it is interesting that they still even, hold up Jesus as one of the greatest prophets and all that. The only thing They don't look at Jesus as is the Son of God. The same thing with Jews. They look at him, you know, in different ways. It's interesting how all the world religions bring Jesus into it. They just don't give him the deity in what the Bible states when it comes to Christianity. That's the only differentiation here, because Muslims, believe it or not, the majority of Muslims believe the second coming will be not Muhammad, will be Jesus. That is it's a fact. They all say it's Muhammad or Jesus.
Every single paranormal investigation I ever did, when you brought the name Jesus in, a Jewish paranormal investigator or researcher that I knew in the States, he had to use Jesus in order to stop a lot of these demonic possessions that they were dealing with. And yeah, it's I lost my train.
I've been with people, dude, where I've been praying and stuff, and they'd be like trying, like they're really plagued with demonic activity, possession, whatever you want to say. And they would try to say Jesus, and they'd be like, they finally did, but it would take a long time. I'd be witnessing it. And this is multiple times. Like, there was a period of time with my walk with Christ that I got into spiritual warfare heavily and dealt with a lot of different people, from witches to warlocks to Satanists to just everything under the sun. People that had just dabbled into different things. They were into drugs.
They just come into your life, right? It's just like the weirdest things.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I told them all, though. I said, look, if you're attacked at night, whatever happens, I said, just remember the words I say, no matter what happens. And when you know that something bad is going on, you just need to say that word. And if you can't say it in your heart. It doesn't matter. But all the people that got back to me throughout life would always sit there and say it would be gone like that. And again, that's one thing for anyone listening. If you ever get like attacked in your sleep, in your room, you get sleep paralysis, it doesn't matter. You need to say that word. And that will be the one time that you will now know the true power of Jesus' name, because it is like spiritual. You feel it, even if it's lessening and it's a bit of a struggle. You will see and you will feel it for yourself. And I think it's important for people to know deep down inside. It's like, wow, there is power in that name, and there truly is power in the name of Jesus.
What was that word? What was that word?
Which word? Jesus.
Say it again, brother.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of power. There's an incredible power. And when you read, when you do deep down studies in the New Testament, every time Jesus encountered demons, dude, like, they are terrified of him. They're terrified. And if you get into all the demonic encounters with Jesus, there's very key insight and information on how they deal. And they did not want to be sent to the abyss. They wanted to be sent into pigs and thrown over the cliff. Like, there's certain aspects going on. When it comes down to the authority he has, they have zero authority to remain in your life if you call out his. Yeah, you call out his name. They don't at all. And you see it in the Bible. You read it and you understand exactly. They know. And that's what I find amazing. Every time he encounters these demons in the Bible, they know exactly who they're dealing with before anyone else. Everyone else is kind of confused, like, what's going on? They don't even get what's going on, the conversation. It's really amazing. If you ever go through all the demonic encounters with Jesus, especially talking to them, it's very interesting from, you know, different
tales. And if you're a follower and you use that word, like, if you can, like, if I say the word Jesus, you know, at the right moment, at the right time, whenever, I'll feel like a little shock or shiver go through my body. Like, it's amazing sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have the authority in Christ, you know, especially when it comes to anything, any principalities. And remember, God says that we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and dark places and higher, you know. So again, that verse in Ephesians basically states that it doesn't matter, guys. We're not in a physical war. We're in a spiritual war, and we have the authority in Christ with the spiritual armor. Nothing can come against us. Well, they can come against us, but nothing can actually happen unless God wills it. There's so much power, dude, in the spiritual realms when it comes to what, you know, God has placed us here to do. And he's saying, have no fear. If anything, we need to trust in him and basically operate in that understanding, because, again, we're in a massive spiritual war.
And, you know, one of the deceptions is that we're physical people, you know, in a spiritual world, and we're not. We're spiritual people.
Yes.
In a physical body, you know. We're spiritual. We talk about our bodies, you know, in the third person. It's like my body, my hand. Yeah. That's my hand. That's not my body. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you is not your body. You is not your body. Self is not your body. No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you've got like a soul.
We refer to ourselves. Yeah, because we know that we're in. You can feel that you're inside there. Like, you know, you cut your arm. That's your arm that's hurting right now. It's not your soul that's hurting.
Correct.
It's not your feelings that are hurting. It's your arm that's hurting, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you can separate yourself from yourself, right?
Yeah. And you have to understand, too, as a believer and being born again, that this world is not your home. Like, you're here temporarily. Like, you're literally on a mission, but this isn't your home. Like, this is just a temporary blip. Like, if you consider life, it's like a, you know, all the pain that people discover. I used to use this analogy. All the pain that you go through in life compared to eternity, it's like a bee sting. It literally is like a bee sting. All the pain, I don't care what pain you've gone through or all the stuff that's happened, it will be like a bee sting compared to eternity. We're here for a very short time, like 80 to 100 years. It goes by very quickly.
And if you're saved, oh, tell me about it. If you're saved, that's half the battle. That's half the battle. The other half of the battle.
Yeah, no, and then you got work to do. It's just kind of like this whole idea that you're going to die, go on a cloud and play harps. It's not the case at all. You're going to, in my opinion, you're probably going to be put over certain creations. I mean, God loves creating. I can only imagine what he'll assign us to do. We are like in his army. We are like in his, you know, it's not this, you just sit around, it's just a big vacation. I mean, that's another discussion for another time. But this idea that you just play harps in heaven is totally not biblical whatsoever. And biblically speaking, we're going to help reign and rule on earth at a certain position with Christ, that where every knee will bow, whether or not, it doesn't matter. Every knee will bow. They will understand that he is Lord, he is King, and people will realize it. They will know. So it's exciting, but you have to have that mentality. Like, guys, if you have children, you're raising them for him. They're not your children per se. They're his children. You know, when it comes to this world, everything you see, this secular world, like you were explaining before, Bill, it's secular. It's not of God. It says to be in the world, but not of the world. We're here as visitors. It says we're to be aliens. We're to be peculiar people, where people look at us. We have to be different. We can't be just like when someone looks at you, just goes, oh, like there's no difference there than anyone else I know. They have to be like, what's different about that person? Why is he thinking that way? Or how come he acts that way? Or how come their marriage is like that? Or how come their family operates this way? It says that we need to be set apart. We need to be holy people. We need to be different. And that's the whole thing. But the fact of the matter is, when it comes down to Christ operating us, the Holy Spirit is given to us to convict, to teach. There's so many different areas. It gives us the words. Even when we don't know what to pray for, it says the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. I've been in encounters before, Bill, where afterwards I was like, where did that come from? That wasn't me. Honestly, I was like, where did that come from? It says the Holy Spirit will actually give you the words. It will speak through you. That's why I always say all the time, we are literally mouthpieces for God. It's not us speaking. It's God speaking through us. In cases where you absolutely do feel the Holy Spirit and you know that something has almost taken over, that is when all of a sudden the words are given and they are spoken in a very, very commanding way, but also an authoritative way. And all authority is by Christ. And we do have that authority. So no matter how evil this world gets and how wicked and how scary it gets, it's not scary for God. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Remember that. Because if you are born again, if you are saved, you have that. You have that assurance, and nothing ever will change that. That's a beautiful promise of God. It will always be, and he will be there with you always. So yeah, it's encouraging, dude, and it's amazing. Sometimes with all this black pilling, we've got to look at what the Bible states and believe in the promises.
Yeah,
Bill, it's been great, man. Have you on, man. We'll do it again next week. Yeah, we'll do it again next week, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. Celebrate truth. Guys, have yourself a good week. Until next time, same place. Blessings all.
God bless.
Listening to Revolution Radio. What the heck is the truth, jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio.